So now we'll turn it over to our speaker presentations. First up, we have Allison Castellan, who is currently with the White House Council on Environmental Quality. Allison is a climate change adaptation specialist at the Council of Environmental Quality, where she works with Interagency Climate Change Adaptation Task Force to improve federal government's response to climate change. She's on details at the EQ from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Office of Ocean and Coastal Resource Management, OCRM, where she has worked with the National Coastal Zone Management Program for the past 8 years, which is a federal-state partnership that works to preserve, protect, and responsibly develop the nation's coastal areas. Allison has a master's in environmental management from Duke University.
Thanks, Emma. And thank you very much for inviting me to participate today and speak with you all about the Interagency Climate Change Adaptation Task Force. As Emma mentioned, I am on detail at CEQ from NOAA's Office of Ocean Coastal Resource Management, where I work very closely with state coastal management programs. So, you know, state and local governments are very near and dear to my heart, so I'm very happy to be able to speak with all of you guys today. First of all, I just wanted to sort of give you an overview of what I'll be talking about. First of all, I'd like to, you know, go over generally what the Interagency Climate Change Adaptation Task Force is about and the role the federal government plays in climate change adaptation. And then I'll go on to the recommended actions the task force put forward and the report they submitted to the president this past October. And then also talk about next steps as the task force moves forward with implementing those recommendations. The Interagency Climate Change Adaptation Task Force was established in March 2009 to assess key steps needed to help the federal government and public and private sector decision makers in communities across the country better understand, prepare for, and adapt to the impacts of climate change. The task force is co-chaired by the Council on Environmental Quality, the White House Office of Science Technology Policy, and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It also includes representatives from over 20 different departments and agencies throughout the federal government. In October 2009, President Obama signed an executive order asking the task force to provide recommendations on how federal policies, programs can better prepare the United States to respond to the climate change impacts. And he requested that the task force provide a progress report with those recommendations to him 1 year later, which we just submitted this past October. So, first of all, you know, why did the president request this report? If you've participated in either, you know, any of the previous webinars during this series, I'm sure it's no surprise to you that climate change is one of the greatest environmental and public health challenges we face in the modern world today. It impacts many aspects of our society, including our livelihoods, especially in coastal communities, our human health, our water availability, food production, natural and national security, among other aspects of our lives. And it's because of these impacts, it's why it's very important that we really do need to take action to address the growing threat of global warming and prepare the U.S. to adapt to the impacts of climate change. Although a lot of adaptation occurs at the local level, the federal government does play an important role in preparing our nation to respond to climate change. The federal government provides data, tools, and other resources to local, state, and private decision makers so that they can accurately assess climate impacts and risks in their own backyards, design and implement effective adaptation strategies, and build a greater public awareness of the importance of adaptation. The federal government also has a direct role in adaptation because climate change directly impacts federal services, operations, and assets across the country. Infrastructure such as federal roads, for example, may require additional resilience to extreme heat, extreme cold, or more frequent or severe flooding, as you see in this picture. Public lands may need to be managed to take into account increases in drought and wildfires. And then by incorporating adaptation into the missions and operations of federal agencies, the federal government will help ensure that taxpayer dollars are invested wisely and that the federal government's services and operations do remain effective to benefit all American people as the climate continues to change. While the federal government must play a critical role in climate change adaptation, we can't do this without the work of state and local governments, as well as public and private sector as well. with a direct say in many land use development and local service, social service decisions. State and local governments are often on the front lines of adaptation. It's, you know, also, you know, many state and local governments already are leaders in adaptation, and the federal government is, you know, really looking to what's already going on at the state and local levels to learn from them to help us move forward as well as we continue to move forward with adaptation. And it's because we recognize the important role other stakeholders play in adaptation across the country that the task force very much valued input from state, local, tribal thought leaders, as well as the private sector and the general public as it moved forward with developing its recommendations. The task force held over 35 listening sessions, outreach meetings, and other public events across the country to provide opportunities for feedback. And then we also received over 27,000 written comments to help inform the recommendations the task force put forward. Some of the key themes that emerged during these public outreach sessions and public comment periods was, first of all, the need for broader stakeholder engagement and improved coordination between all levels of government and stakeholders. Also, the need for a sustained funding for state and local adaptation and greater accessibility to science. There was also a call for more federal guidance and leadership on climate change adaptation. And also the need to review existing regulations and policies to ensure that they don't inadvertently increase the vulnerability of climate change. And finally, there was an emphasis on the importance of taking an ecosystem-based approach to adaptation. The task force work has been guided by a strategic vision of a resilient, healthy, and prosperous nation in the face of a changing climate. To achieve this vision, the task force identified a set of 8 guiding principles that public and private decision makers could consider in designing and implementing adaptation strategies. While all 8 guiding principles are very important, I would like to first, you know, just emphasize the first 4 here. First of all, the adaptation should be incorporated into core policies, planning, practices, and programs wherever possible. Adaptation strategies should also help people, places, and infrastructure that are most vulnerable to climate impacts and be designed and implemented with a meaningful involvement from all parts of society. And third, the adaptation should be grounded in best available scientific understanding of the climate change risks, its impacts, and vulnerabilities. And then the fourth guiding principle is that adaptation requires a coordination across multiple sectors and scales and should be built on the existing efforts and knowledge of a wide range of public and private stakeholders. The task force put forward 5 overarching recommendations for the federal government to build climate resilience and reduce the vulnerability of communities and places to the impacts of climate change. It also provided specific actions, recommended actions under each recommendation. Unfortunately, I don't have the time here to go through all of those specific recommendations, but I do want to highlight what the 5 overarching recommendations are and pick out a few specific actions within those that may be of most interest to state and local governments. First of all, the task force recommended noted the need to make adaptation a standard part of federal agency planning to ensure that federal resources are invested wisely and that services and operations remain effective in a changing climate. The report also noted the need to make scientific information about the impacts of climate change available to people in an accessible and localized way so that they can build adaptation into their plans and activities. And third, to align federal resources to respond to climate impacts that cut across agency jurisdictions and missions, such as those that threaten public health, communities, coasts, and water resources. Fourth, the task force noted the need to build strong partnerships to support local, state, and tribal decision makers in improving how they manage places and infrastructure most likely to be impacted by climate change. This would allow for a sustained dialogue to identify how the federal government and specific agencies can most effectively engage with local, state, and tribal governments on adaptation. It would also enable the federal government to increase its responsiveness to local, state, and tribal adaptation needs and be a way for the task force to communicate progress on implementing recommendations it made in its October 2010 progress report. Oh, sorry. Yeah. And as part of this partnership effort, the task force recommended that federal agencies develop regional climate change adaptation consortia to better meet the needs of state, local, and tribal and private sector decision makers in each region by improving regional collaboration and coordination to federal efforts to support adaptation. And then finally, the fifth overarching recommendation the task force put forward was the need to develop a government, federal government-wide strategy to help developing countries reduce their vulnerability to climate change, building on and strengthening existing bilateral and multilateral adaptation programs. Yeah. Next slide. Okay, there we go. Thanks. Now, as the task force, moves forward, the federal government has already begun to implement some of these recommendations in the report and will continue to do so over the next year as well as the years to come. Some of the activities that are planned or underway for this year include, first of all, federal agencies will begin to assess how climate change will impact their missions and integrate climate change adaptation into planning, operations, programs, and policies. CEQ is actually will be releasing in early February implementing instructions for federal agencies on how to best integrate adaptation planning into their programs and operations. Some agencies have already begun to do this. For example, Department of Homeland Security has already begun to investigate how climate change will impact migration patterns in the southwestern U.S. and identified ways DHS will need to adjust its operations and programs to respond. The Department of Transportation has launched a pilot program sponsored by the Federal Highway Administration designed to help transportation decision makers identify infrastructure assets that are most exposed to threats from climate change and the consequences that could result from those threats. And this is a pilot project they actually did in partnership with state DOTs as well as the Metropolitan Planning Organizations. We've also heard requests, from many local and state governments, the need for an easily accessible one-stop clearinghouse for federal climate change data and adaptation resources. And we're beginning to explore options for compiling this and producing this at the federal level. And also to improve coordination on cross-cutting issues, there are several interagency planning efforts that are underway. For example, the National Ocean Council is developing a strategic action plan to strengthen the resiliency of coastal communities and marine and Great Lakes environments to climate change. Another effort is being led by Department of Interior, NOAA, and CEQ to develop a National Fish, Wildlife, and Plants Climate Change Adaptation Strategy. And all these planning efforts will include opportunities for public input, especially from state and local governments, as the plans are developed and move forward. The task force is also working to strengthen and better coordinate adaptation efforts at the local and regional level. For example, we're looking at ways to build on existing regional efforts to support local, state, and tribal adaptation, including DOIs, landscape conservation cooperatives, and NOAA's regional integrated sciences and assessments, as well as our regional climate services. We're also looking at ways we may be able to tap into a variety of established networks that support state and local and tribal decision makers, such as ICLEI, National Governors Associations, and various professional associations of state and local government and tribal groups. These forums will provide opportunities for state and local governments to provide continued input to the task force and federal agencies. And also, we recognize, there can be often a stakeholder fatigue out there, and we really do want to tap into existing conversations so we aren't creating yet another forum to do that. And these forums will provide, opportunities for continued input, as I said. Finally, the task force has committed to producing another progress report next October to document the progress made in implementing the recommendations the task force put forward, and also provide an opportunity to refine or provide additional recommendations as needed. In closing, I'd just like to note that the task force recommendations that they put forward in October represent an initial but important step in what must be a long-term iterative process. to ensure America's communities and natural places are resilient to climate change. This is an iterative process that's ongoing, and we really are open to your suggestions and ideas as we continue to think through the best ways to meet these recommendations, as well as, you know, move forward with this process in general, especially opportunities for continued engagement with state and local governments. So thank you. And for anyone who's interested in, you know, looking at the full task force report, you can find a link to the report from that website there, and then feel free to contact myself, Allison. I'm Allison Castellon, or Kathleen Kelly, who's the Deputy Associate Director of Climate Change Adaptation at CEQ.
Thank you, Allison. As some of those efforts get underway, like the Informational Clearinghouse, we'll certainly distribute that information and provide links to our listservs so folks can get to those resources and access them as they become available. So thank you. And if anyone has any questions for Allison, please remember to type them in, and we'll get to those at the end of the webcast today.